Welcome to Enjoy the Balance of Your Day podcast, season 3, episode 1. What? Season 3. Season motherfucking 3. Episode 1, Red Flag Academy, part 2, season 3. Oh my god. Allow me a moment to wrap my mind around season 3. Our first pod together was January 9th, 2022 by Gremlin. It was 18 minutes and 9 seconds long and had 57 plays, at least on Spotify. I don't know how many plays it really had because I can only see what happens on Spotify. I mean, we all know I'm available on many, many, many different platforms. But yeah. Season 3. We're here. We are here and we are having a wonderful time. And I'm so happy that you are here with me. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. I appreciate my Facebook followers. I appreciate my TikTok followers. I appreciate the feedback. I just, I'm besides myself. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's get into it. So, some housekeeping first. What did I want to do? Season 3 and I'm still looking at notes, right? Am I right? I'm right. I think I owe you an update. You know, it's the end of spring break and I was really excited because at the beginning of spring break, I was going to have that hormone replacement therapy initial visit. Well, that visit got canceled because days before the doctor had a family emergency, so I had to reschedule that. You know how much I love being on the phone, so I haven't rescheduled it. All I did was return their call that I understood that it had to be rescheduled and that I would call back to find a new date. The first date took easily 6 weeks to get, so who knows when I'll get a date. It was a killjoy. I was and I am still super disappointed because I really wanted to get this done. The weight is not moving, so it is what it is. I'm not going to let that kill my happiness at this being season 3, episode 1 of my little podcast. So whatever it is, I am currently doing this Ozempic challenge. It's not even a challenge. It's this ridiculous TikTok thing. One cup of water, half a cup of oats, half a juice lime twice a day in the morning and evenings in the blender. I don't know if it's making a difference. This is only the second or third day I've done it. I've gone back to intermittent fasting again, second day, starting my day of eating at noontime and I'm ending by 8. My sister says that it'll shake up my metabolism. We'll see. You know, it is what it is. It'll either work or it won't. That is what life is, right? A 50-50 chance? We'll see. I'm not stressing it. Another thing that is what it is. The other day, I dreamt about a trauma-informed classroom and a trauma-informed educator because it's something that's been on my mind at work. So I wanted to share some things with you, and I saved some pictures. Let's see if I can find them. Okay, where are my photographs? I know they're on this phone. All right. So I was feeling a way about trauma-informed education because I think that's something that's missing at my current school that I love very much. And it's not because we're not informed. It's just there are some students in my school that would be better off if we had more trauma-informed teachers. And again, the teachers at my school are wonderful, but there are certain students who don't belong in the unit because they haven't passed or haven't passed their scores, don't place them in the unit, but also they're really rough in the general education classroom because of behaviors. So this is a list of 10 trauma-informed teacher strategies. Number one. Kids who have experienced trauma aren't trying to push your buttons. Two, Kids who have been through trauma worry about what's going to happen next. 3, even if the situation doesn't seem that bad to you, it's how the child feels that matters. 4, trauma isn't always associated with violence. 5, you don't need to know the cause of trauma to help. 6, there's a direct connection between stress and learning. 7, when kids feel they're good at something and experience success, it builds their resilience. 8, self-regulation can be a major challenge for students suffering from trauma. 9, it's okay to ask kids point blank what you can do to help them make it through the day. 10, you can support kids with trauma even when they're outside your classroom. Now, one person may know some of these, one person may know all of these. It's just really difficult to remember all of these when you're in the classroom, when you're in the trenches. I remember because by trade, everyone knows I'm a classroom teacher. I may not be in the classroom presently, but it's very easy to forget these things when you're in the classroom. It's tough being there in front of, 12 to 30 children at a time, and you're the only adult in charge, and you have to make a lot of decisions with very little support. Even if you have a supportive administration, when you're in that classroom and that door is closed, you're really on your own. So this is just a handy list. Okay, the next slide. Oh, that was a real teacher speak right there. What defines a trauma-informed classroom? 3 key elements. It's a very nice graphic. Safety, calm, and connection. So safety, you create a safe environment. Teachers, aides, and the classroom environment support each child's feelings of safety, trust, and belonging. Classroom setup includes areas and activities for both quiet focus and stress release. 2, connection. Build relationships. All caregivers strive to build genuine emotional attachments with each child and their family. The family part is tough, but you know, you try. And support trusting peer relationships between children. Calm. Teach emotional regulation. Teachers and aides develop, practice, and talk about their own stress management habits and teach children age-appropriate regulation strategies for everyday use in the classroom. The part about teachers and aides talking about their own stress management habits can become problematic because as a teacher who taught high school and middle school, when you're in that room and the door is closed and those become your everyday people, sometimes you can, and I'm speaking for myself and other teachers that I know do this, sometimes you can overshare. And it's not because you don't have adult friends and you don't know any better. You just end up spending all your time with all these people, all your time, and the lines can get blurred. So I'll caution that part. Sharing your own stress management habits, you might want to consider just jotting down a list of things you're willing to share or even make them up. Just make them up, the type of things you would do or you want your students to do, and act like it's something you do even if you don't do it, just so you can have a script. It's fun to teach off script, and a teachable moment is a teachable moment, but it also makes sense to have things ready to talk about so that you don't veer off like I do. That's what I do, right? That's how we get along here. All right, so back to Red Flag Academy. I was looking at my notes, and I know when we left off, I was telling you how when you're under stress, it's very easy to get confused. Or for me, it's very easy for me to get confused about dates and time. So I was looking at my notes, and I'm wondering if my dates were correct. So I think I'm going to try to stray away from the year parts because I don't want to be wrong. But as I listened to last episode, which was 4 days ago, and thank you to all of you who have listened, both here on Spotify and everywhere else, Spotify, sponsor me, although no, that's fine because I don't pay for this service. So I guess you are sponsoring me in a way. I do know that I haven't said anything positive about RFA. So now's positive corner. RFA, when they were supportive, they were very supportive. It's a very family-oriented place. Once you're in. Since it was a small school, you got the feeling that you knew everyone, and it did feel like you were part of something amazing. I never had to suffer for supplies. If I needed something, I could have it right away. The principal was very active throughout the halls. She was fine walking into classrooms, and it never felt like a gotcha until it did. However, you know, in every family, there is a cousin, there is an aunt, there is an uncle, there is always that problematic person. There are always mean girls. So just imagine if a school or a job feels too much like a family, it can become a problem. So the same positive aspects of a family, there are also those same negative aspects of a family. So just take that for what it sounds like and run with it. Another red flag of Red Flag Academy, I told you that there was a lot of partying. In New York, we don't really party with principals because they're kind of separate. Not because we didn't like them or didn't trust them. You just didn't really want your principal to know everything you were doing. So you hung out with your teacher friends, and even there, you kind of tried to scale back a little bit because what you do on the weekends or after work, you didn't really want the people that you saw from, 7:45 to 4 o'clock to really know what was going on in your personal life. But again, just like those students, once you close that door, these are the people you're spending your full day with. So the lines tend to get blurred. There were no lines in RFA. I'm talking the parties. There's lots and lots and lots of drinking and shots. And we'd have these retreats, dancing on the table and no sleeping, and more parties and more parties and more drinking and lots of food and jumping. It was just a lot. It was a lot. And I am not a party person. And I will say that here, and I will stand by that. And perhaps it just wasn't the place for me, and I should have known from the beginning. But I did try the party thing for a minute. But I got tired. And maybe that's when they got tired of me. Maybe they got tired of me when they realized I wasn't a party girl. Maybe they thought coming from New York, I'd be a party girl. And then they realized, oh no, she's a little on the stiff side. And not stiff in a great way. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, big time partying. But we were the responsible lesbians that made sure that the super partiers, the ones that would pass out and fall off the stage drunk and everything else, we made sure that they got home. Look how I'm not mentioning who they were. See, I'm a good person. We're only 13 minutes in, and I'm still a good person. So there. All right, so I told you that I moved to the other side, and then that took me out of the middle school bubble. At that time, I want to backtrack a second. Sorry. Before we left for COVID, when those disciplinary meetings started, I'm very big on feedback. Teaching is something that changes frequently. The teaching standards don't really change, but since education changes and children change, between trauma and environmental changes and everything else, teachers have to constantly change. And yes, you can go back to things you've learned in the past, and there are certain things that stay the same, but you have to be flexible all the time. So anytime I was given any sort of feedback, I took that feedback and I tried to apply it to what I was doing because I wanted to make sure that my students succeeded, because that was always my purpose. So anytime I was given feedback, I used that feedback. And if it didn't work, I would try it again. I am the type of person that if something is not working, I do tend to give up. So I will take that hit. Yes, I will give up on something and go back to what I know, and it might or might not work. But at each time when I would have a meeting, the first one or two meetings didn't look like they were disciplinary meetings. They started like your regular, what do we call those meetings? Oh my goodness. I don't remember what they're called. Teachers, help me out here. Data meetings. I think they're called data meetings. When you just bring in your numbers, like this is what the kids did on their I'd like progress monitoring type things. You go on with your principal. This is what the kids did on their math or their reading test. This is what I want them to do. Here are my reds. Here are my yellows. Here are my greens. Here are my next steps, like that type of situation. But I would go into these meetings, and instead of it just being myself and a principal, it would be myself, the principal, the science teacher, and like one other person. So those meetings started getting a little concerning because they started feeling like disciplinary meetings. And then I got a teacher improvement plan, which is called a TIP. And it had like next steps. So those started being a little scary. I should have been better informed and I should have been ready. And I should have probably thought that it was a union thing. But in Florida, at least in the charter school, I don't know if we had union representation or anything like that. And I never looked for it. So that's another ding on me. And I should have been better about that. So that's how my meetings started to be. Instead of being just data meetings, they became like these TIP meetings. So I still went to those meetings. I took notes. I was like, okay, that makes sense. You know, you're right. I'll try this. I'll read about this. And then I would take all their feedback and I would apply it. And I make checklists and all types of things. And just, I really wanted to be on top of it. But they would say things at the meetings and it's like they really wanted to like get under my skin. And I would just be like, oh no, you know, I would be really strong. So there was one meeting. And I remember I was sitting across from them. I don't know if COVID was coming, but for some reason it was the principal, the science teacher, and like the assistant principal, and the person that, interesting enough, this is the one that I was asked to help learn about IEPs. It's weird, and go to meetings with her and everything else. They were sitting a distance away from me, kind of like in a line, almost like judges. Think of like an American Idol situation. So I'm sitting across from them. There's no table in between us, just distance, which makes me feel like we were approaching COVID. And they're giving me feedback. And then they said, somebody said that they just think that the students are not performing well because they don't like me. So this was a new low because I've always put relationship first. So I wasn't expecting that. And I started crying. Now, that makes me feel like a complete loser because I do not believe that you should ever cry at work. There was one other time at that job that I became emotional about something and it had to do with racism and it's neither here nor there. So I'll let that go. And it wasn't adults. It was children. But I started crying because I just was not ready to hear that. Feedback is feedback. But if you're telling me children don't like me, this is new. I never heard that before, felt that before in all my years of teaching. The children don't like you is new to me. So I realized at that point that the power struggle had switched. It went from an equal conversation between us to a huge shift. Now things had changed. Now I wasn't receiving feedback. Now I was taking criticism. I was not taking it well. So they gave me, you know, whatever. I left. I thought about it and I said, okay, all right, I know what to do. I sat there. I read. I got on Google and I created a Google form. I did a whole survey. The next morning, I gave it to all three classes at the beginning of the period. And the students were like, what's this about? Why are we doing this? And I hope so-and-so doesn't give me this because if she gives me this, I'm going to be real honest and she's going to have her feelings hurt. Talking about other teachers, right? All right, the lying ass Spaniard. I said it anyway. So my numbers came back. I printed everything in color. And guess what? When I checked the data, turns out that was untrue. I had a little bit of the red because one student or a couple of students felt like I gave too much writing homework. Okay, I marched all my data to the principal's office and I presented it to her. Here are the greens. Here's a little bit of the yellow, but the data overall says that the students do like me. This is what they would like me to change. This is the feedback I received. Some would like a little more of this, a little less than this. I was so proud of all the data I collected in my survey. And she took one look at it and said something along the lines of, this is what I'm talking about, Velez. This was a waste of time. With all that you have to do, with everything that you need to get done, this is what you made a priority. This is what was important. And I'm looking like, yeah. Because essentially at our last meeting, your point was that the students don't like me. And I wanted to find out more and how that I could change that. And if the focus of that meeting were the students disliking me, then the feedback I needed to come from the students. She had zero interest in that. Zero interest in my color copies. Zero interest in what I was going to do to improve. Zero interest. Zero interest. If anything, she was more annoyed. I can say this. She was more annoyed that I spent time collecting data to figure that out. I feel like now, in hindsight, I feel like they were looking for something that would officially break me. They found something to break me. And the fact that I used it to become a better person was infuriating because I was just supposed to break. Like I was just supposed to collapse. And I think at that point is when the quiet firing, or maybe before them, but I think that's when the quiet firing started. So quiet firing is, and I've said this on previous podcasts or maybe in previous conversations, is when a company wants you to leave, so they just start making things very, very difficult for you. I think this is when the quiet firing started. Like this is when they were just like, all right, we've had enough. How can we get her to leave? We don't have enough data to fire her, but how can we get her to just want to go peacefully? This is when that started. I collected that data for nothing. I still have it, by the way. Mini greens. So that was then. Whew. All right. So time is passing. I'm going to say that we're hitting November now. I'm still in the kindergarten side. The tall vegan has pretty much stopped talking to me. When I do speak to her, she has moved. I told you she moved into our house. Her and her sister started spending a lot of time here during COVID because they were having trouble with their roommates. They were living like, I don't know, like six people and like four cats or something. And it was a mess. I don't even know. But they ended up spending a lot of time here. And it's like they kind of moved in. And then I convinced them to rent a house across the street. And then they were there. And then we were having a grand old time back and forth. And I kind of counted them as best friends. And then it's like we went back to school and things started changing. And parties and things that we would go to, I would find out that people had asked her to ask me if I was going. And she never sent the message. Just a lot of little underhanded things. And then when they were moving, we offered to help them pack. And they said, no, that's okay. We got them a moving gift. And they were really weird about receiving it. So things had started getting weird with them. And I don't really know what it was. I don't know. But she just got weird. And if she would have just got weird and stayed weird, I would have been like, fine, whatever. I mean, you can hear more about it in the big spew. But the problem with her getting weird is that she started talking to students about me and then it was coming back to me because the school was very small. That's when things got unprofessional. But yeah, so let's see. November happened. I got diagnosed with ADHD in November. I let the school secretary know because, well, not secretary, business manager. Or what was she then? She was payroll. I don't know what she... I think she was business manager at that point. I let her know because I wanted to be in my records. She was interesting too because she was super close to us and we would go out and hang out with her and her lover. And then she got really weird. I don't know where the weirdness started, but the way it works with mean girls is there's a head mean girl. And when the head mean girl is tired of you, she starts turning. It's either really fast or just slow. In this case, it seemed really fast. When the head mean girl stops fucking with you, then all the little mean girls start following along. And the business manager was no different. She was the same way. It was like a slow bit. Just start pulling away the invites to happy hour, slow down, and then they stop responding when we're inviting them to do things, that type of thing. So in November, I got diagnosed, told them what happened, put it in my file. There was a time where, I'll never forget this, we had to meet about a student, and we were all on Zoom, and the principal was on the Zoom too. And I think the secretary, the business manager wasn't on the Zoom. The principal was on the Zoom. And at one point I was speaking and the parent was there. I was speaking about the student, how the student was doing. And the principal just disappeared out of her window. Like she just up and left. Okay. That's weird, but okay. But first she was looking down, then she up and left. And then she came back later on. I'm in my room and a teacher passes by and she's like, it was so funny. I was in the office with the business manager and Knobby Knuckled Ponytail came in. That's not what she called her. That's what I call her. But that would have been funny. Knobby Knuckled Ponytail came in and you were talking and she was telling the business manager, watch her now. Isn't that weird? Listen to her. See how she's looking? Like watching me while I was speaking to the parent. Really weird. But yeah, that's the type of stuff I'm talking about. Really unprofessional. So then I had been having some health issues. And I needed to have a hysterectomy. I was really happy to finally my doctor agreeing that a hysterectomy was necessary. And two, I had scheduled it, of course, for over the holiday break because I don't miss time from work. So when I was leaving before the break, I explained to my students that I was going out for this surgery and that I would be back when the new year started. And I left before the break. I don't know how much before the break I left, but I left before the break. I think my surgery, I want to say it was December 12th, 17th. So let's say I left around there. And even while I was out recovering, I was still sending work in and grading the work that was coming in. It's really important that you understand that I was sending work and grading papers. There was a grading period, and I wanted to make sure that their grades went in. They were doing a lot of writing to prepare for something, and I was sending the work in. It's important for you to remember this because later on I was told by a student that the students were told by Knobby Knuckle Ponytail that I wasn't grading anything. And that the work was just, later on, all that work that I was sending in was just found like in a folder somewhere, like in a classroom thrown or some mess like that. So all the work that I was doing was being ignored. Anyway, and I was still going to meetings and everything else, even though I was on medical leave. So while I was on medical leave is when I really decided, I don't think I want to go back. I didn't think I could do it between the way that I was feeling about the school and not wanting to deal with the lies anymore and the mean girls and the fact that at one time I felt like these people were my family and now they were not. I mean, there was one teacher that I felt like we were really close to. She planned this She planned this wedding. At first we weren't invited to the wedding, but then two of her ushers quit and then all of a sudden we're invited because she needed ushers. And of course it was just a lot. It was a lot. When did I decide? So I started doing Zoom interviews. And at the same time, my wife was still working there. And I was still friends-ish with two of the teachers there. And one I used to walk with because she lives a couple of blocks from me. And one I used to drink with. And there's one who used to live in this subdivision. And I would see her too. So the one I used to walk with, I would see her a lot. And the other one who I used to drink with and the one in the subdivision, I would see the three of them here and there. So one day my wife was covering, because I don't know if I told you, Knobby Knuckle Ponytail ended up hiring my wife. So my wife was working there too. So when I was on leave, my wife was still going into work. My wife was covering me in the class room of the teacher who lives a distance from us. And this is a teacher we used to hang out with a lot. And she would ask me lots of questions. She was new to teaching. I was kind of like her mentor. And she had left her email open. And she had reserved a spot for an ELA test. An ELA test for teaching ELA to grades 6 through 8 or K through 12. I don't remember which test it was, but it was the test that she would need to teach my grades. Which was really, really interesting because she did not tell me she was interested in teaching my grades. I knew that she wanted to teach on the middle school side because before, when we knew her, she was teaching on the K through third side. And I think at that time she was teaching fourth grade. But we knew that she wanted to teach on our side. She just didn't tell me she wanted to teach my grade. So that was interesting. So my wife saw that that email was open. So I was like, oh, interesting. She never said anything to me. And then around that same time, I checked the website and saw that they were looking to hire a middle school teacher, ELA, 6th, 7th, and 8th. I'm the only middle school teacher, 6th, 7th, and 8th. So that just pushed me. I was like, oh yeah, I'm definitely going to start looking for a job because they had an ad out for my job, even though I was still officially working there. So I was like, okay, I really need to look for something. So I was giving that person who lived a distance away the opportunity to tell me what was going on, but she didn't tell me. Fine. The girl that I would walk with all of a sudden, slowly but surely, stopped walking with me. All right, that's fine. The girl who lived in this subdivision stopped responding to texts and stuff like that. Okay, fine. At one point, I knew that she was trying to sell her house and I knew somebody who was looking for a house and I text her to tell, you know, oh, I know somebody who's looking for a house and she texts me back, don't you ever fucking text me again or some bullshit. I was like, oh, wow. All right. I didn't even respond to that because again, mean girl shit. I don't know what I did to her. I left that alone because of PTSD. I was unable to walk past her house for a very long time. Just recently, Stevie and I started walking that way. I think they probably sold the house. That's probably why I can walk there because I don't feel the vibes of hate anymore. So that was November, December. So in December, I started doing, like I said, I had the hysterectomy, was still grading. My wife saw the test thing there. Everything at that point happened really fast. My wife saw the test thing. I saw the ad. I started interviewing over Zoom. I was getting dressed after my surgery and getting in Ubers and going to interviews in person. I was doing everything I needed to do because I was going to get out of that school. So I got interviewed by a few places and the place that I work at currently, the interview went really well and they offered me a job, but they wanted to speak to my current principal. So I had to reach out to her. So I reached out to her and she was fine with it. And at the time they were going to do something for the kids. I don't know. I think it was like, they used to sell everything. So if you wanted to wear jeans on Friday, you had to pay a dollar. They would sell everything. And I wanted to like pay for my students to all wear jeans or some mess. And I wanted to send the money in. She was going to take it. And then she said it wouldn't be a good idea. I don't know. Our relationship the entire time was really weird back and forth. I'm mixing up dates. I'm sorry. So I reached out to her and she said that she would speak to the school on my behalf. I told the school that I would start. They wanted me to start right after we came back from break, which was probably like December 5th-ish. I told the school that I didn't want to start into like December 12th because I wanted to go back to my school and train whoever they were going to put in my position and be able to say bye to my students. Because remember, when I left early before the break and my students knew I was going to have a surgery. So I didn't think it'd be appropriate. I leave and then, you know, I never return because we all need closure. So I told the principal, I'm going to accept the job, but I'm not going to start until such and such date. And she told me in an email, don't do that. Consider this your last day. And I was like, no, I do not consider this my last day because I figure I'll give 2 weeks for me to go say bye to the students, you know, clean up my room, take out whatever I need and whatever the case may be and help the new person get settled in. No, consider this your resignation. I don't think that'll be a good idea. I don't want to upset or confuse the students. You don't want to upset or confuse the students when I left early for surgery and now I'm just not going to return. Oh, the band striking up. My mother-in-law's waking up. Clearly, I've been on too long. Excuse me. So that's how that went. She didn't want me to go and say bye to the students that I hadn't seen since about the beginning of December. The students that I had taught since sixth grade, the students that I had known since about fourth grade, she didn't want me to say bye to them. That's what was going on there. Fine. So I emailed parents goodbye and students goodbye because it was my right. Parents were very upset. They were emailing her. They were emailing me. Some people were calling me. It was a little on the messy side. I had to end my RFA Instagram because the tall vegan was on my Instagram picking fights with me. And some of the kids were like egging the fights on because kids will be kids. And the tall vegan thought it was hysterical because, you know, she tells students everything. She has all types of Discord accounts with them and everything else. Really weird shit. And she thought it was really funny to pick arguments with me over Instagram. So instead of arguing with her, I just deleted those accounts. I had to email the school on December 27th because she thought it was appropriate to be asking students about where I was going and everything else. And of course, the students told me. So I emailed the school and was like, look, I'm not involved with you guys. You wanted me gone. I'm gone. Please tell your teachers, especially this one, to not contact me and everything else. And I made sure I put the board and everybody else on that. I went to like their last holiday party. Nobody spoke to me. This was before. Was this before or after I resigned? It had to be before because I wouldn't go after. But their last holiday party, I did that. Nobody spoke to me. A few people spoke to me, but a lot of people looked straight through me. What was funny is the teachers didn't speak to me, you know, the wives, but their husbands who didn't work with us spoke to me. That was really weird. It was like an episode of Real Housewives because the wives looked right through me and their husbands spoke to me. That was really weird. It was just bizarre. The whole thing was bizarre. That RFA, the PTSD associated with them, and just horrible, horrible, horrible. The nightmares, the seeing blondes in the street and clenching up. I saw one idiot teacher, para, in like a Michaels. She saw me. It's like all the blood drained from her face. We both just froze and immediately walked the other way. Ridiculous. I'm so happy it's done. I started my new job, I want to say January 12th. Because I told my new job I was starting January 12th, and that's when I started. I wasn't changing because Knobby Knuckle Ponytail told me I needed to change. And I'm just happy to be done with them. I'm happy. They wanted my wife to stay. She was like, no, I'll give you my 2 weeks and that's that. But we managed to maintain friendships with one, two, three people there that we see now and then. But everybody else, I never want to see them. I don't. Every now and then I'll see some of the kids on social media. I check in with them. Some of them visited me afterwards. They bought me some gifts. But I have to keep a respectful distance because RFA is toxic and a mess. And it's like when once you see an imposter for what they really are and you see that they're dangerous, you just want to stay away from them. I had thought about like legal things, but I said, what am I going to sue for? You can't sue mean girls. Sue them for what? For being mean? And then I found out after the fact, the reason that Knobby Knuckle Ponytail wanted me to get out so fast is because if I would have stayed past a certain day in January, the board would have had to pay me for that summer. So she wanted to make sure that I was out by a certain date so that they wouldn't have to pay me the summer, which was a cool and calculated move on her part. And I'm sure she felt really bright for somebody who could not figure out a damn Skype call when we first interviewed. I'm sure she felt pretty bright about that. I mean, I gave that school wonderful things. I got their scores up. I wish them the best. I wish their students, for the most part, the best, because children are innocent. The teacher who took my class, you know, the one who took the test and passed, of course she passed because she's really smart. She didn't even last a year. She did it a couple of months and realized, oh shit, this is not for me. She grabbed her man and I heard they moved to Miami. She couldn't do it. She peaced out. I don't know who they have teaching my class now. I have no idea. I could find out, but why would I find out? Doesn't make any difference to me. The tall vegan is still there. She'll stay there forever. For reasons that I will not disclose here, she probably can't get hired anywhere else. And that's it. They're just going to go on their merry way. RFA, live their best life. I ignored the red flags because since I started teaching, I always wanted to find my forever school. I've now come to a place in life where I realize there is no forever school. Jobs are like relationships. You go there for a season and, you know, you stay there for as long as you need to and then you move on. The job that I'm at now, I love it. I don't know how long. But I love it for now. The honeymoon ends and then you last for as long as you can. Right now, I'm still kind of in the honeymoon stage and we'll see where this goes. But when that honeymoon stage ended, it ended real hard. It kind of like dropped out of the sky hard and it was a hard fall. But I have recovered. I don't think I'm angry at them anymore. I can see blondes without feeling like throwing up. I can eat a vegan meal without throwing up. I could see redheads without feeling annoyed. So I think I'm all right. I want to thank this podcast because I think this has been part of my recovery. I learned a lot from them. I'm able to finally, after these months, trust people that I work with now. But I do still look at people with kind of like a side eye because... imposters are out there, and when you meet them is when, you know, I don't know, Stevie's looking at me like, are you done? Can I have a piece of cheese? Is it time for a walk? Well, listeners, this has been episode 1 of season 3. I appreciate you guys. I was easy on RFA because I could have tore them a whole new asshole, but they got enough assholes in there. They don't need me to tear a new one. See what I did there? They got enough. They got enough. Over the years, over the 2 years I've been gone, some stories have come up. And when I hear that school's name or their board, I'm just like, mm-hmm. Girl, I know. I know. I survived. Right, Stevie Weeby, best believe-y? We both survived that mess. He knew. He met somebody. He met the assistant principal. And when he met her, he barked hard. He was like, nope, don't like her. Don't like her. She was just like, oh, dogs always like me. I'm like, I don't know. He's so friendly. This is so weird. He's on my lap now. You didn't like her, right? Oh, the maximum recording time for segments is 60 minutes. Keep an eye on the clock. Excuse me. Look at me at 45 minutes. All right, guys, I gotta go. I'm Enjoy. This is Enjoy the Balance of Your Day. Have a wonderful day. Thank you for listening. And we will be back next week to talk about shits. Take care. Bye. All right, Stevie. All right. Get off my lap. I'm trying to say bye. Bye. Thank you.